Welcome to Homemaker Chic, where we are rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind in our red lips and absolutely no jumpers. I am your host, Angela Reed of Parisian Farm Girl, and I am joined here by my bestie on the other side of the country, Shay Elliott.
Hello,
everyone. Of the Elliott Homestead. Hello. Hello, Karen. All the Karens. Mm-hmm. You guys, we love Karen. We're not Karen. This is not the Karen hater crowd. We're pro Karen here.
We're pro Karen. We're pro Frank.
Right?
Yes.
We are. And today we are celebrating because this is the last episode of season one. We did it.
Yay!
We made a podcast.
Hey!
And you guys made it successful. And so have our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by Jovial Foods. Jovial Foods is an incredible company run by husband and wife team, Carla and Rodolfo. And years ago, they discovered that their daughter had a gluten sensitivity. So they struck out to find grains that her body could easily digest and thrive off of. And that led to them discovering einkorn. You guys know einkorn is what Shay and I bake with. It is our favorite. It's an ancient variety of wheat, the oldest that we know of. And our bodies do so well with it because of its high protein content and extremely weak gluten. Now, Jovial is a supplier of einkorn flours, einkorn pastas, Italian olive oils, prepackaged einkorn snacks, and top-rated gluten-free pasta, which is very hard to find good gluten-free pasta. We've hardly met anyone that is more committed to quality ingredients and quality products than Carla. We love our einkorn. We fall in love with it more every day.
Yes.
And we want you guys to give it a try and let us know what you think. So visit jovialfoods.com. And thank you so much, Jovial, for sponsoring season one. We're so happy to have you here.
Yes. You know, every time I think about einkorn, because naturally einkorn flour is more expensive than your standard flour that you get at the store, right? Because it's the way that they have to grow the wheat, the way they have to harvest it, it's shorter and more awkward and all around, it just takes more labor to harvest this grain. But I keep thinking about that quote, you know, this better, not more, better, not more. Would I rather have a slice of einkorn bread or eight slices of bad bread that don't have the same nutrient denseness? I would choose einkorn every day.
Every day.
Every day of the week. No question. Today's episode is also brought to you by American Blossom Linens, which we love. You guys need to go check out their Texas grown, American made, all organic, dye free, nasty free sheets. Now, one of the things we kind of naturally led to in our conversation in season one was that we're kind of getting ready to stick a fork in this fast fashion sort of a thing, aren't we? Like, that's one of the kind of things we've developed through quarantine and just through this season. And I feel that way about everything I'm bringing into my home right now. I want to be done with the cheap and the easy. And that's one of the reasons I love these sheets. These are not fast fashion sheets. These are the buy once in your lifetime kind of a sheets. They're so fabulous. And you can get 20% off of your American Blossom Linen sheets just for being a Homemaker Chic listener. So go check them out and use the code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 for 20% off your sheets. I don't know if that'll be there next season. We'll see.
I don't know.
So you better go cash in while you can. Also, lest we sound dramatic, season two starts in 2 weeks. Okay.
So nobody panic.
Nobody panic. We will be
People
back.
Are already commenting like, wait, you're going to stop?
Yeah, no. We'll be back in 2 weeks, but we're going to take a 2 week break so that Angela can get her tomatoes planted and we can get our website up, which is something that we've needed to devote some time to doing. We just haven't had the time to devote to doing. So that's what we're going to be working on.
Because we can't do it all.
Turns out.
That's what we're going to be doing.
Turns out. If you didn't catch that from the fail episode or Monday's episode, where all we did was talk about all the things that we did wrong and that are currently off the tracks in our homes. Superwomen.
And the
here.
Subsequent fit lists.
That's right. So. Well, let's start today's episode off with our love comment. This is from Instagram, from Oh Sure I Can Homestead, which I love that name. All right. You know, I wasn't raised with a mother or father. I was never taught what it was to be a homemaker in any sense. The only thing I remember with the little time I did have with my mom was that no matter how small our living situation was, she made it comfortable. And that apparently stayed with me into my adulthood. But I was never taught what it was to create a home. And since listening to you two, I feel like a light bulb has gone off. I have a home. I have a family. I've tried to keep it clean and everybody happy. But the sense of homemaking was never alive in me until recently. Hearing you guys talk about the little things like flowers or moving furniture and how that can create a sense of home really resonated with me. I just wanted to thank you for putting yourselves out there and sharing your ways, because at 36 years old, I feel finally like I understand what is happening. I cannot think of a better comment to end season one on. Come on.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
This was exactly our goal in this podcast. Yeah. This so sums it up. And, you know, I appreciate you even saying for putting ourselves out there, because this has been an exploration of a completely new medium for Angela and I. Mm-hmm. And something like YouTube or blogging or Instagram, those are much more curated, just because in the sense of creating something, you're thinking about every word you type. You're thinking about every photo you post. You know, The essence of a YouTube video is that you take all these clips and you put the pretty ones together. So this has been an exploration of our voices in a totally new and unique way. And I think there are many times where we've totally stuck our foot in it, which is, hello, that's life. That's life. We don't.
I think that's what everyone does.
I'm pretty sure.
Last time I checked.
Yeah. So we, you know, we appreciate you guys just being patient with us and loving us through that and allowing us to explore thoughts. I would hate for you to leave season one thinking, oh, these girls, they got it all figured out.
Come on.
Nine.
If that is what's thought, then it's time to re-listen.
Let's start from episode
one. Just go back to the beginning. Just make a note of every time we mention botching it.
Seriously.
It's all there.
It's all there. Yeah. Surprisingly, we don't edit these podcasts maybe nearly as much as we should. But everything's pretty free form here. Homemaker chic. So
pretty much.
Shake it off. Angela.
There was something she said in there. I'm looking at it. Why can't I find it? It was so sweet. Rats. I'm looking right at it, but I don't see it. There was two words that she used that I just love.
Well, I would like to point out that she said moving furniture creates a sense of home, which basically means I'm right about everything. Because that is my MO. Feeling down? Move some furniture.
Move something around.
Move something
around. You got to make it rhyme, Shame. Come on.
I know. What are you sipping, Angela?
A whole lot of nothing right now.
Oh, but that's a shame.
I know. Well, I know. I'm waiting till dinner.
Well,
gotta get,
I'm
just a little bit ready. Beach season is right here. The beaches are open here. 6 feet apart. Beaches are open. But again, with dry farm wines, that is one of the lovely things because of the low sugar content. It's not as nasty for the figure.
So I actually went to a winery yesterday, which was legal. Ladies, I went to the winery and I was talking to the owner, Al, and he was funny because he said, I actually have one of your podcast listeners who's trying to get me to send her a mug. He's like, I'm not picking out a mug for a lady. She's not going to like it. And I was like, Al, it's like you've been married for a really long time. But I was asking him because he does add commercial wines to his wines, or sorry, commercial yeasts to his wines. And so I was asking him about that. I was telling him about Dry Farm. So if you guys are not sure what we're talking about, Dry Farms is the wine subscription program that Angela and I use. And they use natural yeasting, biodynamic, organic wines. And so the result of that is because most of them, I think all of them actually, don't use any commercial yeast. What that means is they only use the yeast that naturally exists on the grape. And that results in a little bit of a lower alcohol. So 12.5% versus 13 to 14.5%. So they're lower alcohol, lower sugar. But Al was saying that they add them because he likes it at like 14.5%, just because they store for a lot longer because of the higher alcohol content. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, because you know that they stored wine long before commercial yeast were available like that. So it's an interesting conversation to have. I know that I feel 1,000 times better drinking Dry Farms wine versus drinking regular wines or wines made with commercial yeast. And I don't know if that's because I do have a sensitivity to commercial yeast, even in like breads or, you know, cinnamon rolls or stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just add instant yeast, oh, that is no bueno for me. But anyway, it's interesting. It's interesting. Well, I am drinking my last 4 swallows of coffee. So it's lukewarm and very sad.
I have to have piping hot coffee. You know, one thing I love about Dry Farms, and this is just something I love about what we do with doTERRA and something I love about shopping at the local farmer's market, I love the tiny little family labels on these bottles.
Yeah.
I love that they're finding these little vineyards and these little family farms around the world and bringing that wine to me. Yeah. Makes me very happy. I've seen some other like sort of pop-up companies, like biodynamic companies, but they have their own label on them. You don't know what you're drinking. Mm-hmm. I love seeing the family farms.
It is. It's fun. And it's such a neat way to be able to support places like that.
I love it. So thank you to Dry Farm Wines for also sponsoring our first season. Be sure to check the show notes, because that's where there will be a link where you can get your Dry Farm Wines. And we are working on having the president of that company on for an interview in season 2, which is going to be great.
So we should talk about that.
I'm very excited about that.
We should talk about that. So season 2, we are going to be bringing on just a few guests every now and again. And I'm very much looking forward to that. So he's one of them, the president of Dry Farms, because I really want to pick his brain on some of this stuff, because you know he knows it. We're also going to be bringing on my friend Barb, who is a dear friend of mine, and she just wrote a book on, I want to do this justice here. It's on a young girl who has health issues. Her health is not going as planned. So it's sort of about her journey and healing and not healing in that. And Barb just has a really incredible story about that with her 4 children that she has. So we're going to be bringing her on, which is going to be great. And
a few more. Are we going to keep them surprises? We're not telling everybody everything right now.
Okay.
No, they got to tune in.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fabulous.
It won't be every week, but we're hoping maybe every 4th episode or so, we're able to share in a conversation with somebody. So if you have somebody that you think, oh, you have to talk to this person, please email us, which is info@homemakerchicpodcast. And we will do our due diligence in checking it out for sure.
info@homemakerchicpodcast.com. There you go. Okay.
You know our email address, right?
I do. Well, you didn't say .com, so I was like, wait a minute. Where is that going to go?
What's even happening? Okay.
It's Blur's Day. So
it is Blur's Day.
It's just another day.
We sort of left our listeners, I dare say, maybe in a little bit of a pit on Monday about all the things that were going wrong, things that we needed to get back on track. So did you sit down and make a pit list?
Shay, the day just like, it just was not good.
Okay.
you know, when you set your intention, like then things usually get worse. Like the day just got really, really bad between dishes and messes and laundry and animals and
sin.
Yeah. It was rough.
Okay. One of those days.
But yeah, I have my pit list. I'm chipping away at it.
Yeah.
I actually really like the name, because it is like what we talked about, like the procrastination is what makes you feel the worst.
Yes.
And to, you know, we talked about like not being a victim, and to decide that actually I do have the 30 seconds to pop that check in the mail or to do that little thing. You do. And you're not a victim and you're not trapped. It just really does take discipline.
Yes, it does.
Isn't always that fun.
I know. But first off, there is a tractor mowing the orchard.
I I can't hear it.
Okay. It is very loud. So if you can hear the tractor, that's just my friend mowing the orchard and he's great. He always stops by my pond to check on the status of the tadpoles when he's mowing the orchard. And it's very sweet.
You're illegal bullfrogs.
Yeah. I haven't shared that story, Angela, but thank you for bringing it up.
I think you did.
Did I?
I think
it all blurs together, ladies. It all blurs together. Yes, I made my pit list as well. And I was surprised because I haven't made one for a couple of months. How, and I don't like this word, but like how empowering it was just to put thought to word and be like, okay, what is it actually that I have to do in this situation or with this thing? And how many of them are like super small things? Like our dog always is running away. He's a Great Pyrenees and he has another Great Pyrenees friend in the neighborhood that's like a mile and a half down the road. And so whenever he escapes, he goes to visit his friend. And the owner will be like texting Stu, hey, Rex is here again. And it's not so much that I care if he wanders because we're like out in orchard country. It's not a big thing. Everybody's dogs roam in that way. But he has to cross this like big road to get there. I don't want him getting hit by a car. Yeah. Anyway, so I have a little dog tag that says, you know, his name and our numbers and stuff so that if somebody finds him, they can just call us directly. And it fell off. Like, it's just gone. I need to just go on and order him another one. It would take me 4 minutes of my time to do this. But it's the difference between, like, him getting picked up by the pound, you know, or somebody just calling and being like, hey, we're half a mile away. We have your dog. So it could prevent a massive headache in the future. It will. It has.
So, don't you think that's how most of the, that's how most of the things on my list are? Like if
there's a couple big
ones. Do them soon, then I can prevent future disasters.
Yes.
If I just leave them go, it's just going to get, nothing's going to stay stagnant.
Right.
It's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse.
And worse.
Yep.
And worse.
Yep. This window that's right next to me, this is my office window. It's single pane, 1,000 years old. And whenever it rains, water leaks in it. So we know this. We bought this window, which is behind me, to replace it. That window needs to go into that window so that when the rains come, we don't rot out our downstairs. You know, it's fun stuff. It's fun stuff, ladies.
Just a few little things.
Just a few little things.
Maybe you'll have that window in for season two, Shay.
Probably not, but I'm going to try. It's supposed to get hot here, like 80, upper 80s, 90s. And so actually when we finish recording this, I just feel like the engines are on because we have to get water on the pasture where our sheep are. So they spend the summer, spring and summer and early fall at a neighbor's house just a couple miles up the road. They have a big field. We fenced it off. The sheep get to go hang out there. The problem is it's not irrigated. So we're in the process of irrigating it right now. But here where we live, if you don't irrigate, I've said this before, the grass just dies. Ain't no food for sheep at all. So Stu is literally racing the sun to get water on this pasture before it hits 90. Because a couple of days of that, it's done. It won't come back after that. You know, so it's, I feel
it's
like
just
we're just
racing.
It's
incredible how different it is. Like
so different. I know.
Like, we don't even use the word irrigation. Like, it's not even...
You don't have to water anything?
In farming, we don't even use it. I could get my sprinkler out and do the garden if it gets, you know, pretty gnarly in August, but...
Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable.
Not like that.
I have to water
every day. We do have... we have a new pasture. We had all this land cleared before Fern came, and... it's pretty gnarly in that there's broken roots and stuff sticking up in the ground because it was all juniper bushes and just this really thick forest that we took out. So I limed it because the soil was going to be really acidic. And I ordered this huge bag of pasture grass and then another bag of clover and another bag of alfalfa and just went out there and the kids and I were just broadcasting it everywhere. And you're looking at this busted up soil and just wondering, is anything going to come of this? This looks like a war zone, this ground. And I just went out, we had like 3 or 4 days of rain last week and I went out yesterday and there's just little seedlings growing everywhere.
Oh, amazing.
And I'm so excited. So when you talk about, I know what your pasture looks like. It's beautiful. I didn't know you had to water it. That just,
oh gosh,
shocks me.
All, but like,
we are watering ours. And
yeah,
I can't wait. Yeah. Right now, the cow and the sheep are in like a smaller, you know, not a pasture, but like a pen within this pasture area, yeah, so that they don't just go out and annihilate all of it before it gets a chance to do what it's going to do. Mm-hmm. That's seeded as well, which I'm sure they will subsequently destroy. But I'm so excited to go out and see an expanse of green instead mm-hmm. of mangy forest. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some parts of our forest that are beautiful and there's others that are just overgrowth and hideous. And this was just hideous.
Yeah.
It's going to totally change
frustrating
the look of
to me, though. Like, it takes a long time and it takes a lot of commitment. It takes good management to get a pasture looking beautiful. It takes mm-hmm. a lot of poop and urine and intentional knocking down certain weeds and mowing and here watering and all. It's so many factors. The area that we had our mm-hmm. pigs in for 2 years after we butchered them, we replanted it in pasture. It's by far the lushest, most beautiful part of our property just because of all that pig poo-poo. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
But the pasture is where the cows are.
I imagine
are.
This is going to take quite
it
a while.
It takes time. It just takes time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're dealing with smaller spaces. So like on a commercial scale, you get your manure flicker and you load it up with manure and then it yeah, breaks right. it up and flicks it evenly all over the pasture. Here we have chickens for that. So that's why we let our chickens out in the fall and they get to go all around the property and break up all the cow pies and poop everywhere. And, you know, there's
do their thing.
There's a reason for it. There's a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think when we left on Monday, I was going to get my potatoes planted and I would just like to let the world know I did get my potatoes planted.
Booyah.
For what it's worth.
Go you.
I didn't have as much. I'm glad I didn't have as much room as I thought. I actually have leftovers.
Oh. It's a good thing I haven't sent you mine then. Sometimes procrastination pays off.
It's not going to be enough for a year, it will be some.
Yeah.
It's probably like a total of 125 feet. So
yeah. Well, we'll see. You just got to start somewhere. I got to go and recover my potatoes today because we have one rogue chicken who's out and she uncovered all of them because we're trying a new method of potato growing this year. Have we talked about this?
Well, we've each moved our potato location, but I don't know
yes.
if we've discussed method.
Yes. So I'm always looking for a better method for potatoes because potatoes, they're a staple crop. So I really need to have a good harvest. But last year I grew them in my mm-hmm. market rows, which was a disaster because in order to harvest the potatoes, you have to undo all the work of making your market rows. And so then they get all discombobulated, right? Because you're digging, you have to dig them out.
Yeah.
So this year I didn't do them in the rows. I made just a big old patch out of a bunch of old manure and it's probably 600 square feet, maybe, of potato patch. It's a big area. Mm-hmm. So I went to YouTube and I'm like, how to grow potatoes best, you know, or like, what am I missing here? Uh-huh. Do you remember that old gardener, Ruth? I can't even think of her last name, like Ruth Gout or something. She was a really old lady. Mm-hmm. She could barely walk, but she would still garden. I remember watching her plant potatoes years ago. And she would just throw them on the ground because she couldn't really bend over and she'd just kick some straw over them. And I was kind of thinking, is there something to this? Like, what am I missing? So that's what I did. I didn't bury my potatoes. I laid them on the surface of the soil in rows. And then I just mm-hmm. completely covered them with straw and some compost to keep them, you know, away from the sunlight. Thank you, honey. Stu just refreshed mm-hmm. my coffee cup. More coffee, please. Anyway, and I'm hoping that it works because then when it comes time to, you just keep them covered. So when the greens start to grow out, you just keep adding straw to make sure that none of them are exposed to the sunshine, mm-hmm. which will turn the potatoes green and makes them toxic to eat.
Green and yucky.
Okay, so it's not about mounding them with more soil. It's just about keeping them from being exposed to the sun. But then when you go to harvest them, you can literally just rake the mulch off the top. And the potatoes are not, they don't grow into the dirt. They just grow underneath between the dirt and the mulch. And so, you know, if you go to harvest potatoes, half of them you end up like forking.
Spearing.
Yeah. Which means they don't store. Yeah. That's the problem is once you poke a potato.
I know. You're like setting aside, okay, these are the ones we're going to eat this week.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to work. It's a big risk for me to try it on such a big crop. But it worked for people on YouTube.
I don't see why it wouldn't, Shay. Well, you can grow potatoes in straw.
Yeah.
So, well, that, you know, like straw bale potatoes. Yeah. So why couldn't you, why wouldn't it work?
I don't see a reason why it wouldn't work as long as the actual potato seed has contact with soil so it can drop nutrients and put its roots down. I'm hoping that it works because I break my body for this farm. My back is so sore right now because I haven't been able to go to the chiropractor in like, I don't know, 4 months or something. I really am crumbling a little bit at the end of this planting season. So anything I can do, I threw my back out last year harvesting my potatoes because it's such a physical job to get out there and shovel and dig and bend over 20,000 times to pick up all the potatoes. And you always end up missing some. It's inevitable because you can't find them all buried in the dirt.
Right.
Anyway, so when I would watch these potatoes be harvested, they would just rake it away and just gather them up. And it was so quick and so easy. I thought, you know what? It's worth a shot. I'm going to try it. I don't know.
Why not?
If anybody does know,
I think it sounds great.
Let us know in the comments on Instagram or something, because I would love to. I love to see how other people grow stuff. It's fascinating to me.
I know. I do too. Because you can always just take a little nugget and apply that to your own situation.
Yeah.
So we did what you did. We moved. I just didn't want them in the garden anymore. They're so ugly. So we're on a giant rock. So there's just no topsoil. It's called Gibraltar Township. For goodness sake, it's just 10 inches deep and you go down and it's just solid bedrock. So I'm actually very grateful for the lake effect rain because the topsoil does dry out really quickly. And we have all the winds that come in too. So it dries out really quick and there's not a lot of dirt to go around for the potatoes. Yeah. So you can plant them, but hilling them is impossible. There's nothing to draw from.
Right.
And so I did the straw last year to keep them covered. I didn't plant in the straw, but that's what I covered with. And it was just so messy in the garden when the wind would blow, you know, so we did the same thing where we moved it, the potato patch out back by the barn and the compost bins. And it's been quite a labor of love. And Joel really is, Joel is just very content to buy potatoes.
Is Joel not loving it?
He does not like the work involved. There's not so much love. No.
Yeah.
And it's been such a multi-step process. So we had that land cleared with an excavator and a bobcat. And then we rented a tractor and scraped the soil to try to get it like loosened up so we could dig in it. Took a shovel out there. Impossible. We rented a rototiller because ours broke. Joel rototilled it.
Oh, gosh.
Stuck the shovel in it. Impossible. There was going to be no planting going on. So we had piles of goat poop and our neighbor's horse poop in like the pine shavings.
Yeah.
And so we took, they were actually bagged. We trailed them along where the rows were going to be. Big long rows, just big mounds of pine shavings and poop. And we called in a huge tractor with a proper cultivator that just came in and annihilated this space. Gorgeous. I mean, like you can just stick your hand down like 10 inches into this fluff of dirt and composted manure and pine shavings.
Wow.
And I couldn't be happier. I mean, it just went from, how in the world are we going to plant in this solid concrete crap soil to, I just went out there yesterday and I just hoed my little trough and kicked the shavings and stuff back over with my feet. And then from here on out, then I'll just pitchfork the composted manure out of the bins to keep them from turning green, you know, to cover the greens. Mm-hmm. So it went from terrible to holy cow, this could be amazing. The Turns only out, problem is that the space is not near as big as I wanted it to be. So yeah. I'm guessing 350 square feet. Mm-hmm. And I could have had it done. I could have done a little bit more, but I planted sweet corn instead. And I'm trying to decide if that was stupid because I can't grow corn to save my life.
Yeah.
It's like Joel just laughs at me every year. He's like, why do you bother again? So you can get 4 ears. Like, so I don't know. Maybe yep. I should just scrape that up and take the extra 50 square feet and plant potatoes.
I would.
Yeah,
I would.
But I will tell you what I did. I'm hoping this is my genius farm move. Aside from the pine shavings mixed in, I planted a pig garden. Did I tell you this?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
This is exciting.
Oh, well, forget it.
No, go ahead. You didn't tell everybody.
With all, you know, there's always extra. You always have extra little stringy onions. There's always extra, a few broccoli starts that you don't have room for. I have, apparently I was trying to buy a lifetime supply of beet seeds when I purchased my seeds this year. Because I must have like 10 packages and the big jar from Johnny's. And so I just planted a pretty good size pig garden. It's probably about as big as this office.
And when do your pigs come?
In a couple weeks.
Okay.
So
new members of the family to meet in season 2.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That'll be fun.
Every time I see them, I'm just going to think of how much I love to roll pancetta.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I'm just going to see little rolls of pancetta with yep. legs.
Yep. We're so not fun. Doing pigs this year. We farmed that out to Brandon, a farmstead meatsmith. If you guys have not checked him out, please go check him out.
I would do that if I was backyard neighbors with Brandon too. I mean, let's be real.
I love raising pigs, but we just didn't have it. We didn't have the space for them. And so it was either going to be get the space ready for them or hire it out. And so we knew we had a resource we could draw from in Brandon because he raises beautiful pigs. I love the process of processing a pig, from rendering the lard to curing the pancetta to curing the bacon or smoking the, you know, whatever. Like, I love the process of that. But this year it was like that or get the sheep water irrigation in or get the shed built for Cece in the pasture. You know, we just had these other pressing things, and it's always, you're always having to choose which ones are we going to prioritize? You know, it's.
Okay, so help me with this. Am I going to get bees? Because I told you I killed my bees and then the mice made a little, you know, hotel de beehive out there. I took them all apart yesterday. My bee farmer called me and they did get more nukes and they're affordable-ish. I can get 2. I just Googled how far away this person is.
How far?
And it is not good. Well, the map took me over the bay, and that's what they always do. They always give you like the as the crow fly miles.
Oh, okay.
But I have to go down and then back up. I have to go down to Green Bay and then cut back up into northern Wisconsin. So as the crow flies, it's 3.5 hours.
Oh.
And I don't think I have.
You don't have anybody.
There's
you don't
somebody.
Have anybody there, closer than that?
There's somebody up on Washington Island who said she can get me Russians. But she's like, you know, there's a learning curve with Russians. And I don't know if I'm up for that. I'm a little intimidated, quite frankly.
Yeah, this might not be the year for that, if I'm going to be honest with you. Just because I've gotten to, I call it homesteader overwhelm, where you throw yourself into the deep end because most people who homestead do, or that sort, or we wouldn't be doing this in the first place. And then you realize you're drowning. And then the animals pay the price. Mm-hmm. That's always the catch. The animals pay the price. When you're not paying attention to birthing or changing bedding or making sure they have the right minerals or like these small little things that make a massive difference in the health of your farm. So if you're not in a place where you could devote time to learning about Russians to me, taking that much time, let's say driving 5 hours each way, if you have to go down and around the bay, no, I wouldn't do that. I'd find some local honey this year and I'd get hooked up with a local beekeeping group in your area and I'd get a swarm. Try to get a swarm. Just be on the swarm list. If they catch one, I'll take it.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
The only silver liner maybe is that I do have to drive that direction to get my Ram, my new Ram. So if it's just a little bit more, it looks like it's probably an hour and a half more. But I already have to go that way to get the Ram. But we'll see. It's just to the point where I'm pretty overwhelmed. And like you were saying about your body, like I'm trashed.
Yeah.
My left shoulder is ruined. I'm assuming there's a torn rotator cuff on the horizon. And my tendon in my ankle kills me every night while it's like you work so hard. You get to the point where like, okay, I'm in pain pretty much all the time.
Yeah. And I gave up working out because of COVID. Like my gym closed. We've talked about this. I don't want to work out in my basement. It doesn't do it for me. I need the mental break. That's what motivates me to work out is the mental break.
Yeah.
And so on top of all that, I stopped even doing my yoga or stretching, as Stuart likes to call it. I stopped doing that because I just got so busy. I'm like, am I going to be out in the garden for an hour at 7 o'clock at night? Or am I going to be in my basement doing yoga on YouTube? I choose the garden.
Right.
And so it is. My body is just like, oh, pain everywhere.
And a lot of people think like the farm work should be enough instead of that you wouldn't need the workout. It's not really the case. Same
because you're doing these weird, like, it's not like crunching motions.
Yeah. Know? It's not like you're hauling. It's not like we're hauling like bales of hay and building up our shoulders or something. It's just
deterioration.
It's repetitive motion, but it's not to any real benefit. It's just wear.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of wear.
It's just wear. I just feel so freaking worn down.
Yeah, we get fresh air. We get fresh air. Sunshine. It's good. Some good vitamin D.
Sunburn. Look at that.
Sunburn.
Look at that.
Yep.
Sunburn.
We get the soil on our feet. There's some benefit there. Mm-hmm. All those good microbes. We get to eat well. So that's a good benefit. Like we are eating salad for 3 meals a day right now. You get some lettuce. You get some lettuce. You get some. Everybody gets some lettuce.
That's how we are with spinach. It's just bright and green and just the leaves are like moisture and they're just gorgeous.
Vitamin C. I love that part of Outlander when they're on the ship and Claire just talks about how she can tell how everyone needs vitamin C because they don't like they have this mental block against green things. Like I'll eat venison, I'll eat potatoes, right. I'll eat bread, I'll eat oats. But you keep those leafy things. Like what are those? What's that nonsense?
Keep that to yourself.
I don't want none of that. Please eat the turnip greens. Please. Oh, we've learned so much in the last 200 years. Or have we?
Depends on how your potatoes turn out, Shay.
I know. So I'm going to change the subject a little bit here because most of the messages I have gotten on Instagram as of late have really been about, and I don't even know how this quite came about, but that this fast fashion idea that we've barely scratched the surface of in this season.
Barely.
People are wanting to know if we're going to talk about that more, expand on that more. And my initial response was, I'm still really working through these thoughts as a person. Mm-hmm. But when we started season one of this show, we didn't know that COVID was going to happen. Like that happened a week and a half in, maybe, I think.
Yes.
To the season.
Just about.
It was really
a couple weeks in.
Odd timing. But I keep talking to people about COVID and how it's affecting them and, you know, how it's changed this and that. And I was just talking to my mom yesterday and she said the one thing it really makes her want to do because she was put out of work. She's a dental hygienist. Now she's going back and it's incredibly stressful for her because of the regulations and she's not really able to do her work in the same way. She was saying it makes me just want to hunker down and just only bring in good things that don't break so that we can just make the purchases once because people aren't going to Target every Friday. People aren't going to Costco every week anymore because people are hesitant to go out that much. Mm-hmm. And where that led her in her thinking was, what if we buy stuff that doesn't have to be replaced as often?
Yeah.
Or even just relying on stores online or having to have your UPS driver come 18 times a week.
Right.
It's an interesting conversation to have in terms of clothing, because not only have we tapped into that in terms of femininity. Is there a parakeet in your house?
It's the turkeys. They just got really loud.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're like three rooms away. So I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the turkeys.
All right. A little background music there from the turkeys.
Right.
They made me lose my train of thought. Okay. Yeah. So we've tapped into that roughly with in terms of femininity and functionality on the farm. We've also just barely scratched the surface in terms of sustainability, for lack of a better word. Sustainability of what we bring into our house, whether that be food or clothing. And clothing seems to be a particular point for women that listen, where they're really trying to wrestle with the same idea. What are your current thoughts on this?
Yeah.
I do want to talk a lot more about this in season two, but.
I do too. I think it's a, I think it's going to be a great kind of sort of consistent topic. I have a lot of thoughts. I wish I was taking notes while you were talking, but that would have been rude. The sustainability. I do think that what has happened has really stirred up maybe some long smoldering embers in people's spirits about their, what they bring into their home and the quality of what they bring into their home, their, just the sustainability on all levels, whether you have where people are starting their own little gardens or they're wanting to stop buying cheaply made garbage. And they're kind of, I think people have really come to terms like, oh, life is, a lot of us have come to, had to come to new terms. We all knew life was hard, but now we're being told it's never going to quite look the same again. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we're, maybe we've grown up and we're getting over a bit of this instant gratification nonsense twaddle that has been around for the last 20 years. And it's permeating into all different areas of our home. I'm just fascinated how it's affected the homemaker from starting the garden to saying, you know what? Maybe I don't need a washing machine with all the Bluetooth bells and whistles.
Right.
Maybe I just need an old beast that's going to last, you know, and then into the clothing where maybe it's not responsible for me even financially right now to just run out to Target or to go get a new beach cover up at Walmart. Like maybe I need to stop buying garbage.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? Like can, I think a lot of people are asking themselves, brave might be a heavy handed word, but it's the only word I can do right now. But am I brave enough to make this paradigm shift? Mm-hmm. Am I brave enough to buy, to save? Sounds so weird. I don't know, for a $49 blouse or a $79 blouse instead of having three $12.99 blouses, you know, just, it is a huge paradigm shift and it's not anything that can be just bitten off and wrestled with in one week or one closet makeover.
Right.
It's a total change in the way we think and intentionality and planning. Everything from meals to our wardrobe. And I think it's a, I think it's just going to be a fascinating area to continue to flesh out in season two. And I just, I think it's very universal. A lot of people have this feeling. And I even think the podcast is giving a voice to that. Like they didn't know what they were feeling. That's what I'm hearing from people.
I don't
like,
even think we did in the same sense.
No.
Like,
I always wanted to be somebody that just like put my foot down about things, but then you, it's just so easy to just slide back. You know, I find it just so beautiful. Even the particular advertisers that chose to partner with us for season one, because it's exactly what we wanted.
Yes.
And then COVID happened and then we really wanted it. I mean, it's just been amazing. Right. So I do think it's a totally untapped topic.
Yes. It is. It's through the process of kind of growing up through this. So so I was cleaning up my girls' room yesterday. And every time I clean it, I feel like I get a little bit of a new spirit with like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Because when you touch every single thing, you think about it, you're exposed to it. And so one of the things I did was pull out their little, they have a little toy bin underneath their bed. I pulled it out and I just looked through the stuff, sorted through it. You know, that's where you find the apple cores and the dirty socks and such. Mm-hmm. So I dumped it out into the middle of their floor. And I swear I don't buy this stuff. I don't know where it comes from.
Just, Angela, I don't either.
I threw away two big trash bags of just stupid stuff. And it's not that I don't want my kids to have fun or have toys. It's not that. I'm not even anti-plastic, but I am anti-crap. Mm-hmm. So, like we don't, I'm going to go there. We don't do like Easter baskets. Okay. It's just not something that we do as a family. But the kids were given Easter baskets from some very sweet, sweet people. But they were just full of, you know, candy that I wouldn't have typically bought them and little plastic Easter toys, tons of them. And I'm still throwing pieces of them away because they all broke within 12 minutes of them having them, right? And I just thought, can we do better? Can we do better than this? Can the way that we celebrate Easter or the 4th of July or Christmas or pick your Friday, I don't care, anything. Can the way that we celebrate that look different? And am I brave enough, for lack of a better word, or maybe opinionated enough to say the Elliots don't celebrate like that? We don't celebrate with that kind of stuff. We celebrate with good food, good company, good conversation, good wine. Like, can there be a, what? Why are you waving your hand at me?
No, because I love it. Now, I wish this was the beginning of the show because I love it. I'm sorry.
Now
I
she totally is, now she you, is taking I'm, notes. She was waving her hand at me.
I'm like, preach it. I'm just, yes, because look, we are, look, this is a whole new show. Son of a biscuit. We are, generally speaking, like this culture that's always been told you need the next thing. We used to make appliances to last. It was like the father would go out and he would buy his wife a new washing machine
from Sears.
He had saved for it from Sears. And honey, like, here it is. You're trying to do a good job. Here's your beautiful new washing machine. I'm talking like Andy Griffith, right? Like, watch Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
Aunt, what's her name? Aunt B gets a new appliance and she's just so proud and happy and she has her friends over. It was like built to last. Mm-hmm. Well, now all of these things are marketed to people that want a new iPhone every 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a new gadget.
And that's what's killer. It's like, it's not that we don't have the technology to build things to last. It's that they purposefully.
No, they're unpurposely made.
Do that.
So we're so distractible. Like, just think about. I love Hobby Lobby, right? But think about, you mentioned the 4th of July. What, think about what it does to you, like when you walk in and you see all the 4th of July decorations and you know you're having company.
Yeah.
Ooh, do I need some flags? Do I need some made in China flags? Mm-hmm. You know, like, what do I need? Like, buy. And then it just ends up in the garbage.
It does. That's what exactly where it ends up.
What if we put our foot down? We know we celebrate the 4th of July. Maybe we collect some red and blue vintage dishes. Maybe we just use glass, God forbid, and take a few more minutes to clean them off. You know, just, I just feel there's a huge group of people that want to start being way more intentional about everything. And less, and I think COVID has given us an opportunity to be less distracted, like really to having to come to terms with some things or even intrigued about coming to terms with some things.
It is. It's done that for me big time, massively. You know, one area that I've kind of landed on that we need to talk about in season two. So we need to write this down. But I told this to Angela the other day, but I am done with trashy acrylic, crappy clothes. I'm done with it. For one, they're not cheap. Like, if you go to Target and buy a little girl's dress, you're talking about $25, you know? Maybe more. Mm-hmm. That's not cheap for a dress that's going to wash up four times and then look like trash afterwards. Or that's not even high quality to begin with. So, and I'm not dogging Target. Please don't get angry at me. That's how I have clothed my children for many moons, other than hand-me-downs, which I'm all about. But
Oh my gosh.
But I'm just sort of deciding for us going forward that we are going to take our clothing budget. It's not going to grow, but we're going to use it in a different way. And we are going to now bring in only sustainable and natural forms of fabrics. So cotton, linen, silk, wool. So instead of getting the acrylic sweater, we're going to get the wool sweater. For one, it's way warmer and it will last, especially if you take care of it. And it's almost like learning how to care for these things in a new way, because now,
right,
if my kids, you know, pants get holes in the jeans, you know, or holes in the knees, I just throw them away because they were cheap and unnecessary. Now I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be time for you to learn how to patch things. We're going to be patching socks and patching pants and patching elbows of sweaters as the years go on. And it's kind of exciting in a way. I feel
it
like
is
challenge
kind of
accepted. Challenge accepted.
Exactly. You know, I have this, it is hard to pull the trigger. It's hard to make the mental shift.
It's hard to be the weird one all the time.
All
the time.
But, you know, just even in retraining, like I have my girls beg for linen nightgowns and they have for years. And I used to make them stuff and I don't so much anymore.
Yeah.
When they were little, I made these cute like upcycled men's shirts, nightgowns. Oh my gosh, they were so freaking adorable. And then they outgrew them. And since about then, they've been asking for linen nightgowns. I'm too cheap.
Yeah.
Or I have been too cheap to go on Etsy and buy them a really quality, beautiful nightgown.
Do you know what's killer about that? Is those nightgowns, I know which ones you're talking about. You buy one of those gowns and they can wear it for like 10 years because of the way that they're built. It's like the Little House on the Prairie dresses, where you can wear them for years just because of the way that they're sewn. They expand as you grow. You don't grow out of them in 3 months' time.
Right. But here's what I've done all these years. I try not to buy new pajamas for the kids because of the flame retardants. I try to buy used pajamas. But when I do buy new, then I'm at Costco and I'm going through the Carter's section and I'm stacking up. I mean, it's a lot of money.
It's so
for like,
much
you know,
money.
You get the little set that has the pants and the t-shirt and the shorts. They look like total garbage after four washings. The color is gone. They're threadbare. They're just
they
awful.
They wad up in the dryer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's part of my own metamorphosis here. As I said, when all this went down, I'm like, okay, I'm done. Everybody's getting proper pajamas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like you said, a nightgown that doesn't, you don't grow out of it.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful and they feel pretty and they have something quality. It's going to cost a little bit more up front, but not over the course of the year.
I know.
Because I'm not going to be buying mangy pajamas all year. So it's just, it'll be interesting to see.
It'll be making that shift and being okay mentally with less. You won't have five pajamas to choose from. You'll have one that you need to take care of. And if you go jump in the pond in your pajamas and wad it up on your floor, sorry. That's good.
Yeah.
It's good to be taught to be okay
that is
with
good.
Less. Yes. It's that better, not more. Mm-hmm. Better, not more. Like, that's what I keep saying to myself.
And as mom, it's good to have the discipline of not just like, just getting over the disposable attitude.
Mm-hmm. Because it really
you
is.
Know, even with like, you know, even just we've all seen a lot of job loss and life loss. And like, I think we all need to just stop with the disposable attitude.
Yeah.
Like just have everything be more precious. Mm-hmm. Everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the reality is those things that are disposable, they're only disposable to us, really. I mean, and I don't mean this in any kind of a pompous way, but those are built on somebody's back.
Right.
Somebody in the supply chain somewhere is paying the price for that. And if I can help or I can use my money without, you know, still being reasonable in my budget, but if I can use that in a smarter way, whether that's for food, for clothing, for home decor stuff, whatever that may be, in keeping my home as a homemaker, as, you know, the guardian of this space. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I want to be that kind of a member of my community and and that sort of a guardian of this space. I think that's a good place to end season one, Angela.
I really do, too. I think it's
give them some the perfect good food to chew on.
Open door.
Yeah.
For next season. And by all means, if you know of an Etsy seamstress that makes beautiful little linen nightgowns for little girls, let me know.
Yes.
Love to take a look.
Yes. We're going to work on bringing some of that to you so that you guys can know exactly where to go to help support these types of things. And, you know, it's going to be a really fun space for us to explore, I think. Oh, by the way, I know we said this, but I'm going to say it again because people are freaking out on Instagram right now. Season two starts in 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks.
Nobody panic.
So there'll be a space for 4 episodes and then we'll be back on the next Monday. What Monday is that? That's maths. Maths I'm not capable of. She's like, no, forget it. It's all right. Forget it. Don't hurt your brain.
We'll find out.
We will.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, go ahead. No, by all means.
I was going to say, thank you so much to everybody. Really, you guys, this has become a top rated podcast and we didn't do that. You did. So all the downloads, we thank you. All the 5-star reviews, we thank you. All the advertiser support, we thank you. Let's just thank Toops and Company as well, because they were one of our first advertisers here.
Yes. And if you go to toopsandco.com, use the coupon code homemaker, because that's still good. You could still use that while we're taking our 2-week break. So go there.
Yes.
Get your natural, sustainable, real ingredients supporting a small business, makeup and skincare. This is Emily's MO. You guys got to go check out her products. It's so good. Toopsandco.com, coupon code homemaker. Go show her some love during this time.
And of course, American Blossom Linens. Homemaker Chic 20 for 20% off your sheets. Again, we don't know if that's extending into next season, so get your sheets now. Mm-hmm. Get yourself some einkorn. Start baking.
Yes.
Let's do this.
Yes.
It's going to be a great second season. It was a great first season. We
worked through a lot of
all sorts of hurdles.
Yeah. We worked through some pretty deep trash to make it through season one. Oh, it used to take us an hour of setting everything up before we could even record. So to record an episode would take 3 hours in total. Right.
Now we can do it in about 10 seconds.
Yep. There we go. Learning things new.
All right.
I will keep the Instagram page active during our 2-week break. So be sure to follow us over there at Homemaker Chic Podcast. Make sure you tag us for Ultra Feminine Friday. Use hashtag Ultra Feminine Friday. So that we can continue to share that and join in you with that. Use hashtag pit list to tag us. If you're accomplishing amazing things off your pit list, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, go back to Monday's episode and give that a listen and you'll have more of an idea. But we would love to see you over on Instagram during the break. It'll be a great way for us to stay in touch.
And if you haven't right now, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of the show because we're having a party.
That's right. 2 days, 3 days.
On Friday.
Friday.
In 3 days. Yep. On Friday, we are going
That's
to be.
One day.
Sorry? yeah, true. Friday the 29th.
Hello.
We're having a Patreon party. Our live stream, we're going to celebrate season one together, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. So be sure you head over to Patreon, and that's where we have also the uploads for Shay's chore charts and things like that as well.
Yes. Yes.
Do we have that, Shay?
It will be up.
All right. I think we're good here.
All right. And copies of our books as well for our patrons. So go check that out. Everybody, thank you. That is a wrap on season one. To
thank
Karen,
you.
We love you. To all the regular listeners, we love you. To Frank, we love you. Thanks for being here and supporting us. And we can't wait to reveal season two to you in just 2 weeks. We'll see you then.
Cheers.
Cheers.